2001. It's been 15 years since the tragic terrorist attack from Islamists came and attacked our country. And I remember, and I'm probably, you know, anybody that's little of age probably can remember where they were when they heard the news. I know it's like I couldn't believe. I guess I was just astonished. You know, the amazing thing is this. I mean, there's all kind of amazing things. I know in all that had happened, God still protected our country, because it could have been far worse. It was bad, but it could have been far worse. I remember a week before that happened, I was sitting at my desk, you know, you're praying and you're going through your stuff and doing, you know. And I remember I had an urgency in my spirit just to bow my head and to pray for our country. Not knowing, you know, God doesn't tell everything, but he knows when things are going to happen, and he tells his children. And I remember bowing my head and saying, Father, protect our country. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, and I could see, you know, the outline of our country. You know how it's set, you know, and it comes down in Florida and then, you know, all that. And I remember saying, Lord, protect it from the north, the south, the east, and the west coast, Lord. Just protect the mainland. You know, not knowing, and you know, you might say, well, wow, you know, probably God did that to a whole lot of Christians. An urgency to pray, because you see, when God's children pray, things happen. He'll put it upon the hearts of the people and things happen. Just like if we want revival, it says, if my people will call upon my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will come and heal their land and revival will take place. All upon the children of God. And we know it was a terrorist attack upon our country, like we've never seen, that we knew of before. I mean, we had wars and things happen, but, you know, civil war and all that stuff. And we know there was four attacks on that day that were accomplished. There was two that went into the Twin Towers. You know, the north, the south, the Twin Towers. That was one in each tower that brought them down. There was one that went into the Pentagon and hit it. And there was one that went down in close to some Stoneyville, I think it was, Pennsylvania, in a in the country part of that area. You might say, well, why did it go down there? Because of the people on the plane that stopped it from hitting whatever else it could have hit. But we know that 2,996 people died, Americans died that day. From all the people on the planes to in the Twin Towers, in the Pentagon, and all that stuff. Over 6,000 people were injured that day. It really affected America severely. I think we may have lost that effect a little bit. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But it did something horrendous to our country. And we know it's from foreign Islamic militant people that hate America. And we know they've tried to do all kinds of other things, and it has been stopped for the most part. But we need to continue to pray for our country like we've never prayed before. We need the physical protection, yes, but also we need a spiritual protection upon our country. We need revival to set in the hearts of God's people first, that we will call upon him and say, Lord, do a work. Father, do a work. That our hearts would be towards our Father because of this thing that has happened. You know, you might say, well, why did it happen? Well, you know, God will allow whatever to happen. Maybe, number one reason it might be to bring the church to its knees. his people, that they would look to him and not look to anything else to protect our country and to protect our people here. We need to do whatever it takes, people. We need to pray and ask God to move. We have an upcoming election coming up. This thing is... this thing is more than physical. It's a spiritual thing. You might say, well, all the ones I see are no good. Well, there's a whole lot, there's some of them that's a whole lot worse, and they have a bad agenda for our country. And so what we have to do is you need to go vote. You need to look and see who protects the unborn. And you can see it. You can look at their records. We know the two major ones. You know, there's Trump and there's Hillary. We know. Okay. There's the two major ones. You know what you need to do? Look at the unborn. Who could care less about the unborn and would say, kill him, him or her. People, every life is important. And think of the elderly too. Euthanasia. Look at their record on what they believe, and then you go and you vote. You look at those things. Now, you can come ask me personally, and I'll tell you who I think. I'm not saying he or she is the best, but he or she will do better than the other one, I think, you know. So set your agenda. Don't just go blindly in that thing, open up the curtain and, oh, A, B, Lord, show me. You know, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go. You might say, I'm going in blindly. I understand. But one is a little better than the other. I'll be honest with you. You know, and you know, in their, in what they've done and what they've accomplished and stuff like that. So just a bar note, I'll remind you in November, late October, to go and vote. If you haven't signed up or registered to vote, you need to go and do that. That is your right. That is your right to do it. But you know what? Let's not forget what happened. Let's not forget what happened. Let's lift up our hands and pray for our country. Father, we come before you this day. Lord God, we thank you, number one, for the mercy, your mercy upon our country and what you have done for us. Father, we pray protection this day. We pray protection over our citizens, Lord God, over our states, Lord God, our country, Lord God, that you would be with us. Raise up godly men and women, Lord God, that will stand up for the truth of the gospel, Lord God, and bring back you into our country and into our government, Lord God. Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord God, for going away from you, from swerving to the left and to the right, Lord God, and not pursuing you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, forgive us and be with us and help us, Lord God. Your mercy and grace. Lord God, we pray for revival, a last time revival before you come, Lord God. Pour out your spirit upon Gadon and Kaplan, Vermillion Parish, our state and our country, like never before, Lord God. Revival to take place, Lord God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the name that is above all names, Lord God. We ask for a mighty revival to take place upon this area, Lord God, like never before, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you would, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I tell you, the word that came forth last week, my God, it shook me to the core of my being. I'm telling you, I said, Lord, thank you for the word, as he was preaching the gospel. Man, it just, I could feel the presence of God. I mean, I said, Lord, as Jim Nations was teaching. But he made reference to this scripture, and he just said it and then went on. And when he said it, I said, I got to look up that scripture. I said, something's not, I need to do something with it. I knew it. It quickened my heart. It did something in my spirit. Look in Luke chapter 21, verse 19. It says this, in your patience possesses ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now, let me read what the comment says, and I'm going to expound on a little bit. It says, if the situation does not seem to improve, and we've all seen that in our lives sometimes, huh? We pray about something and it just not does not improve. Sometimes it does, a lot of times it does, but sometimes it may not. This is what it says. It says, if the situation does not improve, the believer is to be patient, knowing that God has all things under control, and everything that he does is for the benefit of the believer and not his hurt. That's interesting to me. Everything that we go through, you know, sometimes we bring things upon ourselves. Maybe we've made wrong decisions, did wrong things, said wrong things, went wrong places, whatever it may happen. Whatever situation. But as we give it to God, it becomes his problem. And things happened. Things happened. But the Bible says, it says that we're to be patient. Patient. That's interesting. Because as Christians, most Christians, a lot of Christians, are not patient people. I mean, it's like you just don't sit for a little while. We don't sit for, we like to go. And I think that has to do with not so much just Christians, but I think it has to do with our society. We're on the fast pace of life. I mean, things go. From the time we get up, we're at work, to the time we come home. Then you have to cut grass. You got to do this. You got to do that. Call this person. Do this thing. Do that. Constantly. And that we get so wound up in things that we bring that kind of lifestyle into Christianity. But Christ says we are to be patient as we possess our souls. Now, it's interesting that the Bible didn't say that we are to possess our spirit. He didn't even say that we are to possess our bodies. Interesting, huh? We know that God is in made up of three parts, spirit, soul, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God made man as in the image of himself. We are made of spirit, soul, and body. All three. Spirit, soul, and body. But the scripture says that we are to possess in patience our souls. So that means that we can somehow control that part, the soulish part of our bodies. Not the spirit, so not so much the body, but that soulish part, that we are to possess it with patience. Patience. Under the spirit and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're made of spirit, soul, and mind. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I want to read this to you. Talking about the formation of man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And we know that. That was that physical body. He took the dirt and he made man. And breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Not into the mouth. He breathed into his nostrils the breath. Some people believe, and it could be, and I seem to believe that too, life is in what? The blood of man. What people seem to believe is, or scholars seem to believe, when the Godhead breathed into man, into the nostrils, when he breathed into them, life came into him, but blood came into that body. Interesting. Because life is in the blood. And the Bible talks about us not eating of blood at all. We should never do that. We should cook it, our meat. Because the life is in the blood. You know how, you know, years ago they had blood boudin and all this stuff. And some people liked it. And I know, you know, sometimes if you don't know, you don't know. But that Bible really says not to do that. Because life is in the blood. But it says this. And breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life which comes from God pertains to the soul and spirit of man. This was done with the first man. Adam, God breathing the soul and spirit into man. And thereafter it comes automatically at conception. And this is the word now. And man became a living soul. He didn't say a living spirit. Living body. He said a living soul. Now listen to this. Man is a soul that has a spirit, both which reside in the physical body. The soul addresses the body. The spirit addresses God. And the physical body addresses the world. Now, let's say, oh Lord, okay, what's all that? The soul part of a man, or mankind. When I say man, I'm meaning mankind. The soul part of a man, the mankind, really entails the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. The mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. Now, it's amazing in the scripture in Luke, it says what? In patience, possess your soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. You know, mankind, especially if you want to say women sometimes, their emotions can be overrun sometimes. But that's in everybody. But God says we are in patience, we are to possess it. That means in patience, we are to go to God and we are to subdue those things, our minds. You know, we need to never let our minds run and think on things that are just not good, people. Never. The Bible says that we are to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. Those things we are to think about. And we know, hey, we're living in a world, in a society where men and women are bombarded with the things they see that are not good. I mean, it's the truth. From how people dress, to what's on billboards, to what comes across on TV, to what comes across on just everyday life. Years ago, that didn't happen, those things. Not as much. It wasn't as prevailing as it is today. And so we as men and women, we need to make sure that we don't allow things that to come in our mind that maybe aren't truth for some reason, or not all truth at some times. We are to control, possess by the Holy Spirit, by as we keep our faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, we are to possess that in patience. How many times when God is working on us that we get a little irritable there? I mean, you know, we just kind of live not patient. You know, God is dealing with us, and that's the Holy Spirit's job. to deal with us about things, to clean us up, to clean us up. But that soulish part is where our emotions, what we think about, our mind, our will, our emotions, those parts of that being is at. And so we need to control those things as the Holy Spirit works in us, that we do it with patience, Lord. Thank you. That we don't let it run wild, because I tell you, I'll make a comment, not that the soul is more important than the body or the spirit, but for some reason he points it out. Because if we can get that soulish part of our lives on the inside of us where God lives, the spirit and the soul, because that's what will go to heaven. We got to control those things by the help of the Holy Spirit. We got to let God clean us up. We got to let God clean our thought minds up. We got to let God clean up the emotions that we feel. Because just because we see something or we think of something doesn't mean that it's actually truth. Now, sometimes it may be. But I tell you what, I've learned this. The devil will take one little thing that we may see and blow it up. Huh? And let me tell you, he can take one little thought that has been placed in our minds and he can make it so big that it will destroy you and I. That's that soulish part of us. We're to possess it with patience. We go to God and we say, Lord, you see those things in my life, my emotions that I need to control, the thought pattern of my mind, the will. Lord God, help me. Help me, Lord. And then what you do is you need to build yourself up in the things of God. You might say, well, Pastor, can't you then? No, you have to do it for yourself. You got to build yourself up. Get in that word and read it. Get you some teaching material and possess it. You might say, what do you mean? Possess means get it in you. Get the word in you. How many times have we read a chapter and we closed our Bibles and what did I read? Like we can't remember the first word or the last word or anything in between. If you ever come to that point, what you need to do is open it up again and saying, Lord, something's not right. Lord, help me to remember. Because you see, let me tell you this, the enemy is out there trying to steal the seed of God's word from your hearts and your minds, because he doesn't want your will or your emotions or your mind to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to think right the way Adam thought and Eve thought before the fall. He doesn't want that. He wants us to think dirty. Do I need to go any further? You got what I'm saying? Okay. He wants us to think evil. Now, look. You walk in. The devil, it talks about in the Word of God that he throws arrows and darts into the minds of God's people. That's the truth. You can be walking and your mind's blank. You're thinking about going eating. You know, you're just thinking, man, I'm going to get the biggest bowl of gumbo I can find, you know. Seafood gumbo, I mean, you're just ready to eat. You're just ready to eat. You're ready for the hog trough to be put in front of you. And take the spoon and the knife and the fork and eat as much as we can. No. And you're just minding your own business. And old Slewfoot throws that thought. And let me tell you, the next 10 seconds after that thought is thrown, could bring victory in your life or defeat in your life. And in my life too, when I say you, I mean me, myself, can bring victory or defeat. And we know what's good and bad thoughts, huh? Do I need to go any further? No, I won't anyway, but because we know. So you're walking along, we're to possess our what? Our souls in patience, minds, wills, and emotions. You're walking along and something's, either I can say, I'm going to use myself, oh yeah, let me think about that. And man, we just think about it and think about it. And man, it was something so small becomes. And it not only affects you that day, it affects you the next day and the next day. And it could affect you for months down the road and even years down the road. Huh? Because we didn't possess it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because we didn't reject it. That's the word to use. Because we didn't reject it. So next time, victory. Walking down the road, we're thinking about our gumbo. My Lord, we're going to eat that. And all of a sudden, something's thrown into our minds. The battle's won and lost in the mind, people. And the first 5 to 10 seconds, it comes in. There's not... You're not sinning, and I need to put this across to you. You're not sinning when a thought comes in. That's not sin. The sin part comes when we think about it over and over, and then it becomes an action of some kind. So you're walking along down the road, and you're driving your car, and a thought comes in, and you know it's not good, huh? First thing you say, Lord, I reject that from the enemy. Father, your word says for me as a Christian, as a child of the living God, that we're to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report, Lord. Father, I reject those things from the enemy. And you'll see it will go. Now, that doesn't mean it'll go forever, because the enemy always wants to destroy you and I. He does not want us to have a stable mind of thinking correctly like Adam and Eve had before the fall. He does not want us to think that way. He wants us to think evil. And so what you do, you reject it. And then you might go a little further and something else will come. It might even be the same thing, people. You reject it again. You reject it again. In Jesus' name. Father, I reject that in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, it says the name of Jesus is the name above all names. Is the name that will cut. Is the word of God that will cut to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. See, you're there to possess. Possess your soul. Don't let your soulish part of your being be polluted by the things of the enemy. Don't let it become like that way. Stand up and say, I'm a child of the living God. And yes, let me tell you, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. I know we want to be perfect, but God doesn't expect us to be perfect. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross, because he knows we cannot be perfect without the shedding of that innocent blood. And when we do fall again, this is what you do. You go to God and say, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Have mercy upon me. And he says he forgives as far as the east is from the west. And he knows it no more. Can you imagine? No more. But we have to possess our souls, people. We cannot be people that are ruled, even as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot be ruled by the things of the world and our soul man. We have to be ruled by God in his spirit that lives in us, that our emotions are under the cross of Calvary. that our minds are under the cross of Calvary. Our wills are under the cross of Calvary. We've given it all to Him and we say, Lord, it's yours. And let me tell you, it takes work. It takes work. But we can do it. We can do it. You know, David, because of time, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but David, made a bad mistake. David had a man killed because he was trying to cover his sin and whatever else. The scripture says they keep calling before that, before everything was settled, Uriah's wife, which that's the man he killed, had killed. David was a man after God's own heart and loved God, but he made some mistakes. He did. He slept with a woman that wasn't his wife. Not good. Not good. Not good. And the baby died. And it says that David fasted and prayed for that child. He knew he did wrong. He knew it. He sure did. He fasted and prayed, and God allowed the child to die. It says when he heard that the people that were there with him, they were talking, and he knew the child had died. It says that he got up. He hadn't eaten. He hadn't slept. Nothing for days. And he went. He ate. He did everything. He was slept. Took care of himself. And it says that he said basically this, paraphrasing, that I had a chance when my child was alive that God would change his mind. But he didn't. He didn't harbor any bad feelings towards God. He didn't hate God for taking his son. He none of that stuff. David allowed things to get in his mind and his spirit, that soulish part of his life, that could have destroyed him. But in the mercy and the grace of God, it didn't. Didn't. We need to do everything we can. Look, it's not easy. It's like when we become born again, it's like taking an onion. That's our life. Full of a mess. And we're all a mess. That's the truth. But in the mercy of God, He makes us something by His grace. And it's that onion, and He starts to peel away little by little. And let me tell you, the closer you get to the core, the worse it gets because it's hard. God peels it away. All the wrong thinking, all the wrong activities, all the wrong whatever. And He puts in His love and His spirit, His anointing, His power, His presence. But it takes God a while. The Holy Spirit is patient and just taking little by little off. And we just need to do it and allow Him to do it in patience. Lord, I'm here. I'm here. Letting Him do. In Malachi chapter 3, it talks about purifying gold. Purifying gold. And you know, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Purifying gold is a long process. It has to heat up to X amount of temperature. And all the impurities of that gold comes to the top, and you're constantly scraping it off. You don't go away to the bottom. You just scrape off the top. And that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Scrape off the top of our lives and throw it away. Scrape off. It hurts. It hurts sometimes when God is doing some things. It does. Let me tell you, there's some things we don't want to get rid of. I know it. Let's all raise our hands because we've all been there. There's some things we don't want to get rid of. We like to keep. That's a part of us. But God deals with us in his love and mercy. And he scrapes off the top of that gold. All the impurities. And look, let me tell you, that's going to be to the day we die. To the day we die, people. Because we're all going through life. And all kinds of things are happening. And we may be good, doing great today, but something happens tomorrow that brings us down to the dump, man. I mean, it just brings... We're on cloud nine today, and we thank God. We're shouting for the Lord. And then the next day, something happens. We get a phone call. Somebody says something, whatever happens, and we're down in the dumps. And we're saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. If we even can say those words. But that's just God saying, okay, now, you always have to rely upon me. Always. And he scrapes off that top, scrapes it off, and puts it to the side. So we all have a pile of trash next to our bowl of gold. And what does God see? The gold. What does the devil see? The trash. And what the devil's trying to do is pick up the trash and put it back into your gold. Listen, that's a lesson. When you overcome some things and God is working, he keeps taking that scoop and putting it up, that dirt on the side, the trash on the side. And we're saying, thank you, Lord. And then all of a sudden, the devil, he's there trying to take what God has scooped out of our lives of trash and put it back with the gold so it's not purified anymore. So what we do is we stay towards God. Because you see, we're not ruled by our emotions. Never ruled by emotions. You know, not every Sunday I feel like I jump up and say, hey, let's get to church. A lot of Sundays I do. I love being here. And I'm sure you too. I mean, you know, sometimes Sundays you kind of, oh my God, you worked all week, you're tired. You'd like to stay home, you know, sleep a little longer. But get to church. Get to church. Because that's the way God set it up. But as God works on us, we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work. The devil will try to put it back in, and we can't allow it. And we say, no, I will not receive that trash again. I'm a child of the living God. I've been saved. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And my God is coming back for me soon. I've been saved and delivered from evil. God is moving in my heart. I will do what he calls me to do, no matter what happens upon the earth. Because you see, one day, as he's cleaning it up and taking all those purities out, the master goldman looks into that pot. And what does he see? His reflection of himself. All that time where we think we're losing everything, we're being destroyed, we're becoming more like him. And that's what he wants, people. Bring that soulish part of your life into subjection to the Spirit of God. You might say, how do you do that? You give it to him, saying, Lord, my mind, my will, my emotions, I give it to you. You give it to him, and you let him work those things out. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. As every head is bowed for just a minute, I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart and life? Is he your Lord today? You might say, Pastor, I have not. If you have not accepted him and you'd like to do so, would you please indicate to me by raising your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. Good. Amen. Great. As far as I see that hand in there. Okay, thank you. Let's all pray together. We have one person that raised their hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as the Lord of my life. Your will be done in me. I accept you as my Lord and as my God. I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may look this way. People, I want to ask you, please pray for your pastors, Jelaine and I. We just pray for us. You know, the Bible says, really, you should be praying for us every day. Honestly. You might say, is there anything wrong? No, there's nothing wrong. We just need your prayers spiritually. You know, we have to make decisions trying to do, you know, spiritually. And so we covet your prayers, and I ask you to pray for us. And I want to tell you, we love you guys. We thank God for you, and we appreciate you. And we're lifting you up before the Lord each day. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.